Mister wasn't Mr. Right. That's okay, sister was looking for Mr. Tonight. Then he called me up a couple times. We exchanged a couple lines and I backtracked repeat a couple times. When he hollered, hardly wasn't thinking. Except I'm looking fresh like every ex. The attraction wasn't properly acting. And so I got down and it wasn't nothing. I kept on like my heart wasn't fretting, but I was hurting.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Please call 877-500-5266 to show your support for KBOO today. Breakfast was provided by Helzer's on Alberta, serving the community since 2004, using family recipes and local ingredients. Serving breakfast every day starting at 7 a.m., located at 1538 Northeast Alberta Street. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Committed to using local and organic ingredients, breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekdays. Dinner was provided by Pambiche, a Cuban restaurant serving Cuban Creole cuisine and Cuban cocktails, located at 2811 Northeast Gleason, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week.
Hi, my name is Pauline.
And I'm her brother Arnold.
Our mom volunteers at KBOO. She's just one of the 500 volunteers that keep the station running.
Thank you for listening to KBOO and supporting the station.
You are a member, right?
If you're listening to the station, you should be a member.
Remember, it's community radio, and you're part of the community.
It isn't fair for other people to pay your way.
Yeah, remember, that's not a good example for us kids. Remember, we're all in it together.
Now, I know money's tight. My mom won't let me get a PlayStation 2, even though I like PlayStation 2s. She says they make you dumb, plus they're expensive.
Well, here's something that's neither. It's called a KBOO membership. And you owe it to yourself and to the community to become a member now. Or renew your existing membership.
Just call 503-232-8818. Or 1-877-500-KBOO.
And thanks for supporting KBOO.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KBOO is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KBOO Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Degentrify Portland is a project conceived of by Sherita Town and implemented with Know Your City, educators and youth from the Portland African American Leadership Forum, Self-Enhancement Incorporated, and Portland State University. The program began as a series of workshops and public presentations for local youth of color to address the topic of gentrification and changing neighborhoods. In phase two, the students learned deeper video skills at Portland Community Media, radio skills here at KBOO, and printing skills at the Independent Publishing Resource Center. This hour, we'll hear from Sherita Town, interviewed by Mike Crenshaw, and we'll hear excerpts from the films made by the youth participants. Stay tuned.
I do want to shout out the Jefferson High Black Student Union.
Yeah, man, they've been busy.
They've been busy.
And we're going to talk about that today because there's one of the things I was actually... out of the country in November when a lot of activity started happening on the streets in response to what was going on in Ferguson and around the country. And a lot of the stuff I read on social media was, man, Mike, there's this budding leadership, this black youth leadership here in Portland. And I feel like I actually missed a lot of the activity where I would have got more acquainted with some of the characters, even though I am acquainted with some of them socially. But could you talk a little bit about these young people in BSU and what's going on?
Yeah, actually, at the rally that followed the non-indictment of Darren Wilson, one of the BSU members, Baki Coles, who actually is on radio here at KBOO sometimes, he gave a great speech. Everybody was really impressed by him. And he described before that being at school and writing out the speech and everybody looking around at it like, okay, this represents us. Like, go ahead and say this, you know. So it's just really interesting to see how they all are really in it together and helping each other, like, sharpen their tools and their weapons for the movement. So Baki Coles, Sakai Edwards, Savannah Carter, Sam Graves, London Elliott, Sabrine Sanders, all these young people are just putting in tons of effort in all kinds of ways. I'd also say Glenn Waco and Don't Shoot PDX, all these young people are really ready for better. And it's great to see. It's great to be a part of it.
So how did you get involved with working with a lot of these young people, and how long have you been doing it?
I started working with the young people that attend SEI, Self Enhancement Inc. A lot of them do go to Jefferson High. Last summer in July, I taught a class. I formed a class with Rachel Gilmer from Portland African American Leadership Forum and some other folks, and it was all about looking at gentrification and how it affects black people in this city, looking at its roots, looking at the history here, going on tours around the neighborhood and mapping the positive and negative effects that you can see in a neighborhood, both, you know, physical environment, social environment, economic environment. And that turned into three films that were screened during the Degentrifying Portland screening. It turned into a photo booklet, black and white photography, called I Am Your Neighbor. It's reminiscent of the, like, I Am a Man placards from the civil rights era and from the Memphis sanitation worker strike. So just really great, poignant photographs, and they have quotes. They captioned each one of them. Their handwriting is in the booklet. So those are the two kind of physical things that ended up from working with those young people in that class. But I've always really, it's always really important to me to have some continuity. Like, you know, you do this kind of work and it's kind of like, what now? So I just try to stay engaged with them. I show up to their weekly meetings with Black Student Union. I have lunch at Jefferson High in the community room all the time just to hang out. And also certain efforts or projects that they're doing now on their own rather than in mine, I'm like, okay, how can I help you out with your projects now? Mm-hmm. Whether that's screen printing I Can't Breathe t-shirts for a protest at a basketball game, or lending graphic design skills for their flyers, for their Black Talks that they have monthly. Just whatever I can do, I just try to stay engaged with them.
So these some of these events that are coming out of this community of people, you said Black Talks. Mm-hmm. So into the future, is there a lot of activity that's planned? Like, is there a long-term vision? And when and where would people be able to attend one of the Black Talks?
So the Black Talks is a monthly 2-hour event that happens at Jefferson High Auditorium. That address is 5210 Kirby Avenue, North Kirby Avenue. Usually starts at 6:30, so it goes from 6:30 to 8:30, or sometimes 7 to 8:30. And the theme changes each week. This last week they did Black Women in America. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm not the only one that was crying, because wow, they were just, they brought people to tears because they were so honest and open and vulnerable and brave, talking about how these issues affect them, and also how in the Black Lives Matters movement, we have to make an extra effort to say Black Girls Matter, because the effort does often get focused on how state-sanctioned violence affects the Black male body. They just did a great job. And you can come to Jeff to their Black Talks. You can look on Facebook, or you can look at them. I think they'll have a website up soon. Just ask around monthly. I don't know if it's the first Monday or the second Monday of each month. I think it might change.
Okay.
But the Black Talks are every Monday. And then they have an event coming up called The Color of Blackness. And that's February 21st. I think that's also 6:30 to 8:30. And that's a Black History Month celebration, community gathering with art, hip-hop, poetry, spoken word, etc.
So that's amazing. I'm so happy to know that there are all these things happening in our city. I have a question about, I guess, the interconnectedness of all these different things that come up. So I hear Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. I hear the Jefferson High Black Student Union. Mm-hmm. There's the Black Creative Collective. What's another one? There's Brown Hall.
The Black Collective.
The Black Collective. De-gentrify Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Portland
the People's
African
Plan.
People's Plan. So how different are all these groups? And would it be safe to say that a lot of the individuals in one of these groups are also in a lot of the other groups?
It's safe to say that a lot of the individuals in Black Creative Collective or Jeff BSU, that, yeah, they're involved in all these different areas. I have felt personally in these spaces that people have similar goals, and that's just to be not just visible in Portland, but hold Portland accountable for how they treat us and how, you know, certain things that they overlook or, you know, push us out to the periphery of the margins. And there's just a general, like, we're here. And sometimes it's in, you know, a firm kind of a political stance, explicitly political. And then other moments it's just like, we're here. Look at this beautiful art we make. You want to look at it? You know? So, yeah, everybody's doing a little something.
That's good. Yeah. Something that Brother Yarga and I had spoken about when we bumped into each other on the street was the intersection between arts and culture and revolutionary politics.
Yes.
And how a lot of times there are silos, and we might be at an organizational meeting having to do with revolutionary politics, even though there might be artists in the room. There's not really a space, a formal space for interacting with arts and culture, and vice versa. A lot of times when we're in a grouping of folks that are talking about art and culture and how we can express that locally and in other ways.
That's Mike Crenshaw in conversation with local artist and activist Sherita Town. Please support this kinds of arts, culture, and political programming here on News and Public Affairs Day at KBOO by calling 877-500-5266.
Wow, what a fantastic interview by KBOO's co-station manager, Mike Crenshaw, and what a wonderful guest in Sherita Town. Please show your support for KBOO for bringing you content like this 24/7. Call 877-500-5266. That's 500-KBOO. Or you can donate online easily at kboo.fm. Click the tip jar.
We have $300 in gift certificates for the Portland Saturday Market, which is celebrating 42 years of American arts and crafts and freshly prepared foods with an international flavor and local music every Saturday and Sunday, March through Christmas Eve. Plus, you can learn Tai Chi with the Taoist Tai Chi Society of the USA. You will receive one gift certificate good for 4 months of beginning Tai Chi class at a Portland area branch of the Taoist Tai Chi Society of USA. During this time, you will learn 108 moves of the Taoist Tai Chi set. That's a lot of moves, guys. So everyone who calls in and donates will be entered into the sweepstakes. The drawing will take place on the 25th of this month at 10 a.m. at KBOO Community Radio, located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. So give us a call right now, 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. We also have, for your gift of $20, for your $20 donation, we have a amazing KBOO hoodie here that looks super awesome. It's flying off the shelves. It's black with the KBOO logo and an amazing radio tower with lightning bolts and stars. You gotta see it. You gotta check it out. So for your $20 donation, you can up your monthly donation to $20 and receive this amazing hoodie. You can be a first-time member. If you have not donated to KBOO before, now is the time. If you're curious about it, check out all the amazing thank you gifts we have. We have so much for you because we appreciate you helping us, empowering this amazing radio station. So please give us a call. We would love to hear from you. 877-500-5266 or again online at kboo.fm.
In this interview tonight about gentrification and changing neighborhoods in Portland, It's such an important, timely topic, but you're even getting it from a different perspective that you don't usually hear, the youth perspective. That's something KBOO brings to you constantly. We have a youth collective gathering the stories of the youth. And in this instance, you know, when gentrification occurs, families are displaced, and children see everything. Youth see everything that happens to a family and the impact of what happens to their home, their neighborhood. So this incredible project, collaboration between collectives and organizations in town with the Jefferson High School youth is bringing you stories from the streets of our community about this issue. It's been happening since I moved to Portland. Gentrification. It's just been this creep up in the Northeast. And they're saying, no, it's going to stop now. And that's what this interview is about. So please support this effort by supporting your community radio station that brings you these stories every day. 877-500-5266. That's 500-KBOO. Or click the tip jar at our website, kboo.fm.
We'll return to the conversation between Sherita Town, project coordinator for Degentrify Portland, and KBOO station co-manager, artist, and activist, Mike Crenshaw.
Even though there might be artists in the room, even though people are politically conscious, we don't get to intentionally build those connections a lot of times when we get together. Can you talk a little about that?
I think that's a pretty astute observation, that just this kind of divide of like, there's this work and then there's that work. There's the direct action, political organizing work, and then there's the art and cultural sector. And I think that more and more, especially right now in Portland, people are realizing how those two things are interchangeable and how our efforts can really cross-pollinate one another. The project that I'm working to launch right now that's most apparent is the People's Plan.
Okay.
So the People's Plan is like a interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary sector effort led by the Portland African American Leadership Forum and urban planners and community health workers. The Urban League is also throwing their hat in, working with artists like myself and BCC Brown Hall. Some experts will bring the quantitative data of housing justice and what that looks like. This many people have left, or these people are affected in this way, you know. While the artists are bringing the qualitative stories. So the videos that the youth made in Degentrifying Portland actually make up part of this people's plan of saying, like, this is what this looks like. This is how this is actually experienced on a human level. So I think it's really exciting to see the ways that people are really trying to bridge the political organizing and art and cultural work right now.
Wow. That makes me proud to live in this city. You know, the stereotype is there's not a lot of black folks here.
Right.
There's not, or black people that are here aren't really doing enough.
Right.
But it almost sounds like there's a cultural hub of activity.
We'll now hear an excerpt from the January 9th youth-hosted edition of 1212, broadcast here at KBOO.
Hello, everybody. This is King Namer by Kikos L, and we are the youth collective of KBOO. We're coming in with a cool poetry slam / cypher. You know, we just have to get out some lyrics out in tonight. We have Shinobi A up in here. All right, so she about to spit a quick acapella real quick.
All right.
Here we go. Do you think?
All right. Shinobi 8. Left side liberals hoot to right to remain silent. Side in with peaceful violence. Right wing, same thing. Close my eyelids, I see utopian islands. They say I'm wildin' in my wildest dreams. I only ingest ideas I wanna reflect. Beams, clean mirrors, and light beings. Solar powered, through the roof type truth. Time is always right, not a reference. A reverence begging for seconds. Stark blessings in my adolescence. Looking at the bright side is a given. Like the sun shining on a group hug from the Simpsons. That
man.
Bright. My skin white as a kite fight for the purpose of blending in. Checkpoints, blessings, vulnerabilities of my extended kin. Slurred word tie-dye might try to connect to your Wi-Fi. Hanging with sleeping on the street under a sheet type homies. Let's be friends.
Wow. Blew my mind.
Sorry.
Dang.
Mind equals blown. It's like when you put Dr. Pepper on a plant and it turns purple.
For
That's
real.
Me. Yes.
Man, what inspired you for that? I just wanted to talk about that for real. Because
I've been writing poetry since I was really young. I grew up on like Lyricist Lounge tapes
yeah.
from my brothers. I used to steal them from him. Big L, the big picture.
I stole the big picture.
Casualties of a Dice Game was like my favorite song as a kid. But yeah, I just grew up like writing poetry. You know, you have to deflect, even at a young age, if you have that kind of spirit, then you know you have to kind of deflect the things that are around you. So
yeah,
I
definitely.
Just used to write to cope with all the crazy stuff that was around
going on, yeah,
yeah,
in
so.
Your scenario, man. Mm-hmm. That's a trip.
You've never heard me say nothing.
Yes, we've known each other, but I have not
yeah.
yet seen.
That was just
or
in my
it.
Phone. That was just like I had to pick one without cuss words. And,
yeah,
you know, whoop de wop.
Man, that is so dope.
Thank you.
Okay, well, all right. Well, I'm gonna see if I can top that. I have a written rhyme. I wrote this. I'd say over the course of a few months, and it didn't write all at once, but I'm gonna spit to a instrumental though.
Yep.
This instrumental is from Black Thought of the Roots.
Yes. One of the most underrated MCs of all time, I have to
I'm
say.
I'm telling you, mm-hmm. yeah. Shout out to him, really, because he's about the art, you know, and that's what I respect in all MCs, all artists, and everything. When they're about the substance and they're about the message of their music and everything.
Yep.
That's really important to me. But here we go with this beat. I'm going to see if I can spit something real quick. Yeah, all right. Don't judge. It's cool. Here we go. Got to stand up for this one, son. Ooh. Cool. Yo, living a life through the lenses of a young Jedi master. Well, life has been my teacher and every day is growing faster. Far beyond my time, still battling the evil. My day-to-day moves make me feel like Max Keeble. In this day and age, the slaving of the brain is fair and equal. It's a new millennium, really feeling like a sequel. Poetic pen and pad, my style is venom to the whackness. The way these cats are flowing is reflecting of their practice. I'm the perfect Joe, but staying point just like a cactus. Leader of the wolf pack, Zach Galifianakis. I got better luck though, with the interdimensional galactic flow. I'm far from thinking practical, with the facts I know it's only fate that I'm a radical. I try to tell the schools that my mind is intangible. A psychological gas chamber called a classroom. For me this problematical. 11 years in, all of my truth on my own. And now I feel more comfortable, out my comfort zone. I've been awakened by the truth and yet I find myself alone. Life is all about perspective, and at least I got my music. Being positive is my power, with the force won't abuse it. Being master in the mic, I'ma show you how to use it. My classic, if I fail, machine is plastic and confusing. With no substance in the rhymes, it never comes to a conclusion. To make another song, there will be pure noise pollution. I spit rhymes to clear all confusion. Hip hop doesn't have a problem, cause I am the best solution. Spitting truth that manifests itself without hallucinating. Operating on a mind of a body through meditation like a sphinx. My life is one big mystery, roots on my missing link. Every day I see the time lapse, faceted. And I can blink, can't you see? I'm not the type to spit about the cheese. I come with that real hip hop for you to think. Rhymes are hot fire, 360 degrees. I flow at ease. I rock a show with expertise. And with the force, I change the course of history across the seven seas. My style is fresher than Febreze. Sit down and take some notes for all you pinky swipe them seeds. I release positive frequencies. My rhymes will never cease. Keep my only working eye open. Seeing the true reality of freedom. Now we know the reasons we were taken from our kingdoms. Satisfy a broken system. Stripping life from earth and all your victims. From birth to hack inflictions. These corporations need a notice of eviction, not to mention our psychological prison of a school system, or should I say curriculum, where all we learn is about slaves and the many ways they try to dehumanize the faces. Can anybody tell me where the black and white race lives? The illusion of the matrix got us cornered and caged in, cause we can't even leave the place our past was enslaved in.
Yo.
Whoopty whoop, you know, a little throwaway beat right there.
This is the next generation
man.
Of people, and there's more after us, too. I hope everybody's ready, man.
That was Bucky, and before that, Shinobi A. Please support this kind of youth access and this kind of political, artistic programming by becoming a member of KBOO. Call 877-500-5266 now to pledge your support.
Yes, help get the voices of the youth out there with this amazing opportunity that we have here, hearing the voices of youth impacted by gentrification, and teaching the next generation how to get their opinions out there, how to immortalize their voice, which is very powerful stuff, as we heard, as we'll be hearing with this piece and earlier on Democracy Now! As well. We heard one of the victims of the Chapel Hill shooting who did an audio piece as well. And just hearing their voice is so powerful. So help us continue that. Help us reach out to community members and people affected by gentrification, affected by all kinds of things all across Portland. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or you can donate online at kboo.fm.
It's clear from that art that those youth really have something to say. Mm-hmm. And venues like KBOO give them a forum to do that. Mm-hmm. So vital. You know, I'm white. And, you know, a lot of times white activists talk about how to be a good ally. And, you know, when you think about gentrification, the very first step in being an ally is just owning that white Portland is complicit. We're implicated in the things that are happening. And, you know, I hear in my circles that, you know, urban renewal can be a positive thing. And, you can see people calculating just how it's going to up the value of their house, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't maybe say it out loud, but it's all kind of a play there. And it's just not right. This process displaces people. We have an African-American diaspora in our city now. People being forced out of the Northeast to the hinterlands of the East. And where they are forced to live, there's no investment there. It's not livable. Then it's called a slum. And the people who speak out about it are often assassinated. And it's just a cycle that I think allies really need to be aware of. And KBOO makes that possible. And I've learned so much. So please, I show my support by volunteering and giving my money and time. Please join us. Show your support as an ally. If you've ever seen what's happening up, if you've noticed what's happening in the Northeast, if you recognize it, please call us and show your support. 877-500-5266. Bear witness to it and try what you can to make it right. Also, check out our website, kboo.fm. Click on the tip jar. Make a donation.
Getting these voices out here is extremely important. You won't hear this on other commercial radios. You won't hear young people talking about this and what they've experienced. I too have experienced it being adopted by a white family and living in the suburbs. I was the only non-white kid on my soccer team in any activity actually that I did throughout school. So it's a very tough thing to grow up with. And to have the opportunity to voice that and what you go through when nobody really seems interested in your story is an amazing thing to be able to give these kids the opportunity to tell the world what is happening here.
Yeah.
and how they are being affected by it. It's an extremely serious issue that needs to be fixed and needs to be recognized. And so that's why KBOO makes an effort to bring you the voices of the youth here and people affected by all kinds of things.
Yeah, these youth are often unwelcome in the neighborhoods their parents grew up in, mm-hmm. that their grandparents settled in. Mm-hmm. It's not right.
No.
So show your support for people who are trying to make it right, mm-hmm. and to do right.
People KBOO speaking out.
Yeah, telling their stories, what's happening to them. Mm-hmm. They are the best voices. They see it. They witness it.
Mm-hmm. So if you agree, you know, if you understand the importance of how strong this is going to be, listening to these youth and you support hearing from them, hearing from our young people, hearing from minorities who have different experiences than you might have, then please donate. For your $20 donation, you can get an amazing KBOO hoodie that has been selling like hotcakes. And that, again, is for your monthly $20 donation. So please give us a call. We would love to hear from you. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Thank you for becoming a member of KBOO Community Radio. The next audio we'll hear is from a video created by Sherita Town's De-Gentrify Portland initiative. This part was supported by Portland Community Media. What Happened is the name of the video, and it was produced by Savannah Carter, Samuel Graves, and London Elliott.
Williams, what happened to you?
This for all my loved ones gone. Thinking about you every day, that's why I wrote this song.
I came over here from the Selwood, Moreland area to buy a homemade custom bag here.
Gentrification.
Well, it sounds like generations coming together. Otherwise, I'd have to look it up to see the official terminology. Oh, okay. Okay, I was thinking generation, not gentrification.
Yeah.
Okay, gentrification. Oh, I think it's wonderful. We have our house is an old house. It's a 60s house, and we just got a new front door, and we're working on it. And I love that the neighborhoods are starting to, they're all starting to work on making different neighborhoods better, which is what really should happen. We should make use of all of these old buildings and houses and make living good for everyone.
Well, I think it's indicative of the fact that a lot of white people really have no idea of the depth of feeling and the depth of the impact of displacement.
It's a benefit to me and to everyone. I have three sons, and you know, we want to make, you know, this is a multicultural area. And so we want, it's better for everybody to have a good standard of living, not just one side. Oh, let me think about it. It affects people of color. Well, I guess it depends on if that's part of their values, if that's where they want to be. But I think the important part is that we have a standard of living, I guess a middle-class standard of living, where everybody has houses and food and clothing and shelter, and nobody has to be on the streets unless they want to be hitchhiking. You know, it's important. We are a multicultural, multi-generational country, and it's really important for us to make sure that everyone has their needs met, not just the wealthy on the upper end, or if someone in wealth have all this and poverty down here, it's no good. Makes people unhappy. Everybody wants certain things, you know? We all want certain things, so.
Yeah. Gentrification is making it worse because people don't get it. People don't engage with each other. They don't socialize with each other. They don't live next to each other. So I think that that's getting, the divisions are getting greater rather than lesser.
I've been here since 2008. I went to college at Lewis and Clark and then started the Portland Mushroom Company with my two friends. So I grow and sell mushrooms here. As far as I know, gentrification is just development, turning things fancy and expensive, raising property value. People of color tend to live in lower income areas, and those areas are changing, and so they get displaced.
Why are we in low income neighborhoods? Like, what's it going to do that? Like,
really? But why are they moving everybody out from the low income neighborhoods to way out? That's what I
exactly. Like. So we go from low income neighborhoods to lower income neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And then to lower income neighborhoods, like.
But these are where the black schools are. This is where everybody grew up.
Yeah.
Like, you can't walk down your street and not get looked at by a white person, like, you know, like racist, have a racist look or say something racist.
Exactly.
Or in a grocery store, they'll just bump you. No, they'll say anything.
Exactly. So I wonder what it would be like if he walked in an all-black neighborhood, just walked past some project building or some apartments, or would people be like, yo, homie, try to jump him or try to sell him some, or be like, hey, man, you lost. But if I was to do it in an all-white neighborhood, I would definitely get the craziest looks ever.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be no people like, hey, you need help, or I think we might have a suspicious black dude with a beanie on. You know, we already see people get shot for that, you know? Vigilante white people trying to keep their neighborhood safe from just a youth with a hoodie on and or a beanie, or it's just...
Even
girls
getting
killed.
Yeah.
I guess I benefit from gentrification because my business, the Mushroom Company, sells to fancy restaurants, and those do better when there are richer people around, and that enables us to do business. So that would be a benefit.
He's part of the gentrified. He's part of the system.
Because he moved from California to here just to sell some mushrooms.
To rich clients, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, and all these restaurants on the street,
they're building up. Like,
they're building up. Obviously, he doesn't spend any time where the people tend, where colored people tend to live in low income areas. So obviously, he doesn't go to low income areas because he's obviously privileged.
I grew up off of Lombard and over by Farragut Park. There's a lot of white people over there, but it's not just like, you know, how Alberta was or anything. Until I got in high school, that's when I really felt it, like African American, you know, going into all black school, because I was raised by a white woman, so it's a little different, but still black. All my adopted family was all black, and my dad, and she was the only white woman, and we got race, we got like picked on because of she was a white woman and had all these black kids. It was really weird. So I didn't really have too many black friends, like, because of just that. So I was really like, I was scared of black people. It was really crazy, like, because of how I grew up. But then when I started working here and going to school and high school and stuff, I kind of like felt like people calling me niggers and everything. Like, that's when I felt that in high school. It felt messed up, like really messed up. Because my sisters used to cry about people talking about them, calling them niggers from these white kids I used to go to school with. I don't
want to
get into that.
Yeah, it's deep. When I first moved here, I lived on 160th and Stark.
Wow.
And so when I first came, I'm like, oh, it's black people. It's kind of hood, you know. And then I came over to this area, and I'm like, whoa, wait. This is kind of what I thought it was going to be like. But out there, I'm like, wow. In the numbers, you got all the black folks. And out here, it's like, this is what I thought. Portland is pretty white, like it's progressive and everything, but
it's when you go out farther and you see more faces. Like,
that's when you see more faces and you feel the energy's different. And then when you start like doing your history and researching and digging, you see the historical value that this neighborhood had, like the Albina area.
But everything's getting knocked down now.
The freeways, both the freeways, the I-5, the 405. Those destroyed the black neighborhood. Emmanuel Hospital destroyed the black neighborhood. Even the Moda Center, what do they call that place now? Even the Moda Center destroyed.
Rose Garden.
Destroyed the black neighborhood. And they put these little institutions there that make you think like, oh, well, it's a hospital. Oh, well, it's a freeway. Oh, well, it's where you watch your Blazers play. It's things that we need this here.
And
it's
had Vanport all the way back then.
Exactly.
It was gentrification then.
It's just a good, they just do a very good job of just destroying us.
So originally I was born in the state of Ohio, in Canton, Ohio. And right now I live in Milwaukee, Oregon. I've lived in the Portland area for 20 years, I think. Gentrification is when you have a neighborhood that is overtaken by a different class, like houses. They bring the price of houses down, and then people come in and buy them, and then they bring the price of houses up. And then the people that originally lived in that neighborhood can't afford to live there anymore. And the banks do it. We were talking about it one time. It's amazing. She knows more about it than I do. She was explaining it to me once. Personally, I don't know that I have personal experience with it. So I think that the way that I feel about it is just it makes me sad. And when I understand, when someone explains the details of it to me, it's just amazing that something like that can really happen. But that it actually is an organized action that somebody's doing to a community for money. I think that this street, and from here, from what I'm familiar with, from here all the way up to Broadway, and from here all the way down to the river, but mostly just from here to that one street where you used to live, that one big heavy street, Ainsworth. There's a lot of stores and shops in here that I never used to come into before, and now I come and I just had some delicious Peruvian food. I bought my eyeglasses across the street over there one time. And 20 years ago, when I first lived in this area, I remember driving down this street, but I don't remember ever shopping along here. And so I lived not too far from here, but I wouldn't really, you know, this neighborhood has changed, I think, because there's money that's coming into it and shops that are sprouting up all over the place. People of color, I know, well, I don't know if that I heard the term gentrification, but where I did used to live, which was over on Hancock Street, the house that I lived in was owned by a man of color, and I rented it. Well, actually, it used to be owned by a man of color. And when I rented it, though, it was to his ex-wife, who was not of color. But the neighbors were all around me were people of color, and I know that they told me that they didn't necessarily like their neighborhood changing the way that it was. And this was 20 years ago. And I know that the people that used to live there don't live there anymore.
That question, Williams, what happened to you is a profound question, because it's not only what happened, it's what's continuing to happen.
This for all my loved ones gone, thinking about you every day, that's why I wrote this.
That was audio pulled from the video What Happened, produced by Savannah Carter, Samuel Graves, and London Elliott as part of Degentrify Portland.
Hi, I'm Leanne.
And I'm Jackie.
Wow. What a powerful interview. Mm-hmm. The voices of youth.
Mm-hmm.
KBOO Radio was instrumental in providing media skills training for the youth that you're hearing tonight mm-hmm. in this interview as part of the Degentrify Portland collaborative effort. KBOO coupled with some other media outlets in town gave the students' voice a lift to the airwaves. Show your support for KBOO as a teaching institution, a place where anyone can come and learn all the media skills to take them where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Call 877-500-5266 and show your support for these youth. Show them that you're listening.
Mm-hmm. KBOO has been amazing in supporting youth of color, not just with this program. Also, I do, for my Native American show on Thursdays, I do a mentorship program, and I mentor Native youth and teach them the same production skills that I learned here at KBOO. And KBOO has been so great in helping me give these kids a place where they can voice their opinions, voice their experiences, on my show and on others. And I think it's a very powerful thing when you put that power in their hands and support these communities that don't normally get to speak out. And gentrification is such a serious issue that not many news outlets have been covering. And so it's a good way to broaden your horizons and learn from the people who it's directly affecting. It may not directly affect you, but to learn about this is just one step closer to opening your mind to other experiences and what's going on around you. So that is something that KBOO strives to do every single day, and putting the power in the people's hands and teaching us how to do radio, how to broadcast, how to get it out there, the issues that affect you and maybe don't directly affect you but are around you and making you aware and you know, getting you riled up to try and help. So we ask that you give us a call with your donations to help us keep going with these wonderful traditions of teaching youth how to broadcast and how to record their experiences. So please give us a call at 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. For your $20 donation, you can get an amazing KBOO hoodie. It's black. It's got an awesome pouch in the front. It has the KBOO logo and a very strong standing radio tower with lightning bolt and a star, and it looks amazing. It's been selling like hotcakes, so get yours now. I don't know how many we have left, so please call in now for your $20 donation. That's 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
What's surfacing in this conversation online is that money is behind gentrification, the money grab. And the same things that threaten our communities also threaten community radio across the country. KBOO truly does depend on your support to stay on the air. And it's a very simple act, a simple phone call, a simple click on the computer to show your support and keep us going. So many beautiful acts from the community have come in today. Somebody walked in with a big fat check. Another person matched all the donations. Somebody came in and gave massages. So please show your little piece of support for KBOO and for our community voices.
Somebody brought amazing pies, by the way.
A cooler full of pies.
Thank
please
you so much.
Please call 877-500-5266. That's 500-KBOO. Or online at kboo.fm. Click the tip jar. And support youth voices, community voices, and your local community radio station.
We return to Mike Crenshaw in conversation with local artist and activist Sherita Town, project coordinator for Degentrify Portland.
What are some of the things that are happening to tie what happens here to what's happening nationally and even internationally?
It's an important observation that people, you know, both from the inside and outside of Portland, would like to believe that Portland's black population is so small and enacted and disenchanted and just not engaged. And that's just not true. It's a really exciting time to be black in Portland, especially young, black, and talented like Jeff's BSU in Portland. So I would say that I think folks are looking at places like Oakland, places like New York, and just combining these things and seeing that they're not one isolated event and really just, you know, looking at all the threads between them and in some cases having direct dialogue between these things. For example, we were just at Jeff High today doing this project where the youth, two different classes, asked questions to youth in Ferguson, and we recorded those and turned them into like a 7-minute film. And so then youth will receive those in Ferguson and send back answers, and there'll be a dialogue between the two. And that dialogue is also going to activate community discussions at the Multnomah Youth Commission. So it's really just using these films and using the creative products that we make to have a dialogue in these spaces. Rachel Gilmer, the former assistant director of the Portland African American Leadership Forum, she's in New York right now. They just had this webinar called Black Girls Matter. It was fantastic. So all the work that she did there is now in New York, and she's definitely making it all accessible through the internet. It's great.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's something that I need to be more supportive of and more conscious of. You know, I'm kind of old fashioned in the sense that I really enjoy travel. I like getting on an airplane. I like going places and seeing things. But, you know, thinking ecologically, it's not always the best use of resources to actually spend a lot of money and fuel to go somewhere. And now technology allows us ways of interacting. I've been at conferences where people Skype in from different countries, you know, and it works. That said, though, You and some of the youth, local youth from the different organizations that you mentioned, actually took a trip in conjunction with Black Lives Matter. Am I correct?
Right, right.
You all actually went to Ferguson. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and what that was like?
Yeah, I signed up to go on the Black Lives Matter ride. I didn't know if there'd be room for me or what it would look like, but it was about 20 of us from Portland that came, and there was also a group from Washington that was there with us, I think maybe about 5 people. And it was actually on the Black Lives Matter ride to Ferguson that I met London Elliott, who is really involved with Jeff's BSU right now. She made one of the films in Degentrifying Portland. And so I met her on this ride, and literally when we got back, school started, and then right after that we started making films. So it was kind of just a really lucky coincidence. But that ride was both thrilling, heartbreaking, frustrating. It was all of these things, because I think when you act really fast and you're like, let's organize a ride cross country, all these people are going to arrive to this spot, we're going to be in the basement of this church and we're going to get some work done, there's work that needs to be done to be able to do the work.
Right.
So sometimes you feel ineffective, because sometimes you're like, we didn't even get to that because we had to do this. But then when you think about, you know, our work, our liberation as a lifetime commitment, you're like, it's okay, we're gonna get back to it. But it was frustrating, both on an organizational tip and also just, well, I don't want to focus on the frustration. It was wonderful to go and talk to people, and I think I was most inspired and invigorated by this group in Ferguson called the Lost Voices.
Okay.
They're just so unapologetically angry, but at the same time, very thorough in their explanations of their anger and where they place it to talk about and unpack and dissect. And a lot of people look at them, look at their tattoos, look at the things that they say, look at the way they talk, whatever, and they're like, oh, I wish these youth would tone it down a little bit. But you don't get to tell people how to grieve, and you don't get to tell people how to fight either in these kinds of situations. So the Lost Voices in Ferguson, I would take that trip, even though we drove like 5 days. Like we spent days driving to go there and then be there like 26 hours and turn right back around and keep driving. I was so tired of beef jerky and snacks and all that stuff. But I would do it again just to see Lost Voices at a rally, because they're amazing.
Yeah, it'd be funny sometimes to look at the intersections between movement building and being an independent artist.
Yeah.
I've definitely been on those long van rides to
man.
Places where, you know, you really start to question the benefit versus the sacrifice. But it's all worth it in the end. And I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but I wanted to think about something. It's a hard question to ask, but looking into the future and where we're at right now and where we've come from, in response to Black Lives Mattering, in response to Black girls mattering, to young people mattering, what's going to happen the next time they kill one of us? I worry sometimes because, and when I say they, I'm talking about the state or racist, self-deputized fools or whatever. I worry sometimes that there's been an initial surge of energy in response to certain publicized killings, but that there's also what goes along with that is people becoming desensitized to something that happens all too often. I try to imagine what would happen locally, because we do have this momentum. We do have this cohesiveness. We have these young people who are committed to struggle in various forms. Where do you think people are ready to take it in the event of some type of tragic loss?
I think that we experience tragic loss daily.
Okay.
I mean, there's that statistic of every 28 hours. You know, so something happened in Ferguson and something happened in New York. There was a situation prior to both of those tragic deaths that really created the recipe for these rebellions. And I think that everybody in the country, throughout the world, something happened that we were able to access it, and it passed through us too, and people got invigorated and active. So it's hard to say what would happen the next time, because it's like it happens all the time. And how can we predict when something will hit, when there'll be that recipe where it'll hit and we'll get really riled up and invigorated? As far as the future is concerned, I think that folks here in Portland are, I think they're in a moment right now where they have been riled up and they've had this momentum going, and I think they are setting up for the marathon. I don't think it's a sprint right now. I think that there's people that have a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year vision of what that looks like in this city, and I think that there's people all around the country that are doing that and sharing tactics and stuff. I do personally feel, this time in my life, 30-year-old black woman, that I've seen an unprecedented amount of energy in my lifetime around these efforts. It makes me think a little bit like, this is what it must have felt like, you know, in that era, in the civil rights era. So yeah, I think we're in it for the long haul. Good. I think we'll have different spurts of energy, but we're ready for better.
Well, thank you for making time and sharing with us your insights. And I look forward to continuing to see some of the young people down here from Decentrify Portland at KBOO. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're listening to KBOO FM, People Powered Radio, and that was Mike Crenshaw talking to
Sherita Town.
Yes, and amazing work, really amazing stuff. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. It's great work, and that's what KBOO does, really. Like, this is what we do. We go down there, we get the voices of the people on the air all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We bring you the community.
We bring you youth voices telling their own stories. This is such an incredible collaboration among the Jefferson High School youth and many organizations and collectives in our city. KBOO as well played a role providing media skills training to bring this what you're hearing now on the air. Please show your support for just that kind of thing. Call us now and join, become a member of KBOO or renew your membership. 80% of people listening aren't members yet, so we have lots of phone lines to accept all of your calls.
Yeah, don't be shy.
Please call 877-500-5266. That's 500-KBOO.
And KBOO would like to thank Marta Lang for coming in today and giving our volunteers and staff chair massages. Marta has been practicing for 10 years in the Portland area, and her treatments range from gentle to deep. More info at martalang.com. That's martalange.com.
Thank you, Marta, for showing your support for the humans who are actually here every day.
Real people.
Donating their time. The majority of us are volunteers.
Yes.
And we do this because some things need to be said. It's not even my comfort zone to be on the air every Friday on Bread and Roses, but again, some things need to be said, and we welcome you, your shaking voice, to get in front of a mic and tell the story that's happening in your neighborhood, in your city. We only hear one story about Portland, and there are many more to tell. Please call us and share yours at 877-500-5266. If you're listening online, anywhere around the world, please click on the tip jar in the upper right-hand corner at kboo.fm.
Everyone who calls in will be entered in a sweepstakes we're having right now. We have $300 in gift certificates for Portland Saturday Market, as well as a gift certificate good for 4 months of beginning Tai Chi. So give us a call. The drawing for these sweepstakes will be taking place on the 25th of this month at 10 a.m. at KBOO Community Radio here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Thank you for listening and becoming a member of KBOO Community Radio. Next up, we'll have 1212, hosted by the KBOO Youth Collective. And we'll end this hour with another snippet from one of the Degentrify Portland videos called Clarity, interviewing people about Portland gentrification. Thanks for listening.
Everybody I lived around, that whole street I lived on was African-American families. Now there's not one on that block besides my mother and father. All the way around that block, Things changed. My mom and dad bought their house. It was $85,000 in 85. I think their house now is $600,000, $500,000, somewhere in that range. It's, things changed, you know. For people coming into the neighborhood, I would say, get to know what it's about. And I know it's not like you're going to pull a pamphlet to give you the history of Portland in the rundown, but lose the sense of entitlement. Lose the sense of entitlement.
Lose the sense of entitlement. Don't come in with a sense of entitlement.
This was, which I still think it is, it's a beautiful community, but you get the sense now, like I grew up here and I feel like I'm the minority here, but I feel like people look at me like, hey, you ain't supposed to be around here. You get that look, you feel that vibe.
Anyway, I lived down the street when the street was first starting to develop.
Yeah.
And I lived above the co-op grocery, and there was nothing here. Well, there was lots of here. The same stuff that's here now is still here. But it's transformed. It's competitive here. Competitive for style, competitive for creativity, competitive for financing. I mean, there's a lot of money on this street. I'm sorry, but there is a ton of money. But it doesn't feel pretentious. Like, anybody can come here, and if you walk around on the street, you'll find one of everything on the street. Very many different styles, but it's still Portland. Like, it's a melting pot. Everybody, the thing that's great about it. And I love how it's all divided up in quadrants, too. Like, or I've always been drawn to Northeast, more laid back, artistic, more progressive. Northwest is more upper class, a little more hoity-toity. I don't feel as comfortable, but when I want to feel kind of special, I'll go. And then Southeast is way more laid back and way more working class, more hippie style. And then Southwest. Gresham is not Portland. Gresham is not Portland. It's totally different. It's a suburb, but it's a totally different world. And I would say that Gresham is more, a little rougher around the edges.
We go back in history and we have found they've kicked all the black people out to the edges of Portland. All truth. I can only speak from my experience in terms of when I walk down the street, sometimes at night, white people cross the street. Maybe I just wanted to say hello as I was passing by to go home. White people turned my hair gray, and been a long 6 years in Portland.